have other family business going on. It's kind of fun family business, so let's enjoy this. Everybody in here has gone through special events like graduations. Kyla, where are you? Come on up here, wherever you went. And Sarah, come on. Come on up here.
Another fun start.
Yeah. Kyla, are you officially graduated?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it's an official graduation. And it's so easy just to give her a gift and say, you know, we're done with her and get her out of here and get her off to college. But no, you have to be interrogated first before I let you do that. And so we'd like to know a few things about you. So you don't mind answering, do you? Okay, good. So you just graduated from where?
Steinbrenner High School.
Okay, great. You have a diploma?
Yes, I do.
Okay, just checking. I never know how that's going to go. And you're on your way to go next step educationally?
At the University of Florida. Go Gators!
Wow, the Gator chop. Steve, does that bother you in some way? Yeah. Okay, I love the Gators. You know, he's teaching somewhere else. Do you have any aspirations? And this is a terrible question because I'm still trying to grow up, and you can tell that, can't you? What do you want to be when you grow up? Is there something you're aiming toward you think would be really cool?
Okay. I'm interested in being a physician assistant.
Nice. Physician assistant. I like that. So it starts at UF and then who knows where from there, and that's great. Tremendous. Well, we brought you up here for a purpose, and that is that we've got a gift for you from the church that's in here. And don't say thank you until you see what it is later, okay? But no, this is nice. You'll like this. We've got a gift from the church, and we'd like to pray for you. We're a church who acknowledges what you do, but understand that you need people praying for you and supporting you outside of your family for you to go where God's called you to go, to have the impact God's called you to have. And so I've asked Steve Cook, who, if you don't know this, he's a professor at a competing college. Did you know that?
I'm a hater.
Okay, this is not about colleges, Stephen. Okay, this is but I'm going to have Steve lead in prayer for you. Okay.
Father God, this is a special time in a person's life, especially in Kyla's life, transitioning to a different world in a way, going to the university. Knowing as a professor the challenges that are out there, the forces of evil that are out there, unfortunately. But Lord, we pray for that she would hold on to the truth. We ask that you would give her wisdom, give her just strength and adjusting to a new way of life, a new place. It's an exciting place, but Lord, also there's challenges there. So we pray for her during this time of transition, being away from her family, from her friends, that she'll make new friends that will be Christian. She'll find a good place to plug in, a church there, and be able to be a part of a fellowship, a Christian fellowship there. But Father, we also pray for her family now, because there's a time when it's saying goodbye, and there's a loss there of having someone that's been so close to the family. And I know how that is when they go off. So, Lord, we pray for them, this time of transition for them, a new time. So, Lord, we pray for all of this in your precious name. Amen.
Now, Kyla, I'm hoping, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I'm hoping, we're probably going to ask you to do this, that sometime, I know you guys got some plans coming up with traveling this and that, but sometime before you leave, you get to play the harp for us again with the worship team, okay? Let's congratulate Kyla on her graduation. Thank you very much.
Good job. Good job.
Now, a key part of what we do as I read the scriptures that we have offerings, but it's not taking the offering, receiving the offering like we're about to do. It's about the fact that I offer myself back to God for His exclusive use, His exclusive service. That's what the offering's about. And with that comes all the stuff that I own in my pocket, in my house, all the things I have belong to Him. But we in the worship service take a definitive time to receive an offering for the Lord's work here at Candlewood. But that is just indicative, let it be indicative, of the fact that everything you own, everything you have, and everything you are has been offered to Him for His exclusive use. Got that? So Phil's going to come around here just right about now and start receiving that offering. And let me pray for us and pray for that offering. There's a lot of neat stuff going on, and we're getting more involved with a few things, which is really kind of fun. In fact, by the fall, you're going to hear about some great opportunities for you to actually put hands-on with a missionary experience. So just whetting your appetite there a little bit for what we've been looking for as leadership, the next thing God is calling for us to do as the body that we are, realizing the size that we are, but realizing the imperative is still on us to represent Him. Doesn't matter what the size of the church. So let's pray. Father, we right now give to you in a very tangible way to the ministry that you've brought about in Candlewood. But Father, how I do pray that this would be more indicative of the fact that we make all of our resources that you've given to us in the first place available back to you for your use as you see fit. Father, we even pray the prayer of Paul that you would spend us as you see fit as a drink offering. Pour us out completely to represent you where you placed us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm being told the coffee's ready, which is, you don't get this in big church. They don't tell the pastor the coffee's ready. But if you, that's the fun part about doing this. But if you'd like to, come on up, grab a cup of coffee. We're going to be moving around in just a minute. Please take advantage of this. And it's hot. And I will tell you that, okay? So come on up and do that. As I give instructions, feel free to get that cup of coffee. I'm going to warn you that I'm going to have you go to, after this song, into four different groups. A group that's going to be, and you can be thinking about it as we get through this next phase. We're going to have a group at the table here. We're going to have a group over here in the corner, a group at this table, and a group for the porch pirates. Okay? So, but I would like for us to break it kind of evenly. We're mathematically challenged in this church. But if we can kind of figure out how to divide that somewhat evenly with some leaders I'm going to tell you about, be thinking about where you want to go. You'll get to sit there. You'll get to rearrange chairs. And that's going to lead us as to what our lesson and scripture focus is going to be. So just be thinking about that as we sing this next worship song. Rose, thanks so much for doing this today. We really appreciate it.
When peace like a river attended my way, healing flow with my soul.
Listen carefully as to how this is going to work. Don't let this help you make your decision about what I was talking about, but it might. Up here by the dining room table, Phil is going to be leading a group. Got it? Over here, Steve is in the commander chair of the corner, and Steve's going to lead a group in that corner. Jerry's right here. He's going to lead a group at this table. And then Glenn is going to go out on the porch for the porch pirates, and I have not said porch monkeys all day, but you get the idea, okay? He's going out for the porch folks, and he's going to lead a group out there. I'm advising you not to stay in your usual grouping. I'm advising you to get with some other people you don't usually get with. I'm advising you to pick yourself up, and as you walk by, we're in a home. We're not in a church. That's the whole point. Come get some more food. Get half a muffin to munch on while you're in your group. It's fine. And get some of this coffee. Everybody got the idea? Okay, good. Are you ready? Get set. Move. Everybody's in their spot? Excellent. I don't know about you, but if I had my way, I'd do church standing. But that's just my slightly hyperactive person. That's true. Okay, listen, our scripture study for this week was from Mark chapter 5, the story of Jesus with the man with the demon. Don't focus on the pigs, focus on the demon, okay? Focus on Jesus, focus on the man, don't focus on the pigs. Funny, good story, but don't focus on that. I'm going to ask you to take a moment. You've got Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. I'm going to ask you to take, and this honors God in a very definitive way. I'm going to ask you to take the next couple of minutes silently, silently in your group, and read that scripture to yourself. Okay, begin reading Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Okay, I think we're about there. Good. Now listen, if you read in Acts about the early church, you'll read that they got together and they worshiped together, meaning they sung songs. They sung songs, all right? That's one thing. We try to provide that here by singing some songs that we know that we can do together to encourage us. It as well is a great song to get through tough times in your life because it's just so true. You get the idea, all right? The other thing they did was they prayed together. Well, we've done some of that this morning, not just once. We've done repeatedly in the conventional church of years ago, there'd be a pastoral prayer. and somebody pretty pompous like me would get up there and would pray for 5, 6, 8 minutes. I don't know about you. I was good for the first 20 seconds, and after that, I was somewhere else hitting a golf ball or a tennis ball and thinking about other things. You probably did the exact same thing. You just don't want to admit to it. And that's why we try to intersperse prayer throughout the service to make it very pertinent and pointed as to what we're doing. And the other thing they did together in Acts was the fact that they studied the Scriptures together. They looked at the Scriptures together. And you might think, oh, gee, look, they're wasting time now. We're reading Scripture silently. Anytime the Word of God is read publicly or read privately, God is honored by His Word being read. And we literally just did an act of acknowledgement and worship by all reading together the same passage of Scripture, who He chose before the foundations of time to have us have this Scripture right now. This is neat stuff. This is what the early church did. And now you're going to do a little more of that in your group. I'd like you to think with me for a minute. Don't say anything yet, but think with me for a minute. You read that story. It's got some incredible slants to it, ins and outs, and what's going on. And I would love you to just think right now, what out of that story, not going to say it out loud, what out of that story stood out to you? What did you see in that story that maybe you never saw before? Maybe you had a community group this week that had that scripture, and now you've just looked at it again. You're like, hey, it just dawned on me. Think. Here's a thinking exercise. Think. What in that story really stands out? What one or two things? Okay, those are called observations. Holy Spirit uses this time in your life to do those kind of things. They lead toward applications. And this is what we're going to do now with the community leader group that you've got. I'm going to ask you amongst your group to share some of those observations. Alrighty? 30 seconds. Share the thing that impacted you. Share the thing that you learned from in this account. Share that with the people in your group to encourage them with the Word of God as we teach each other. Go. Okay, be wrapping up in your group. Be wrapping up. Okay, we're wrapping up, and when your group is wrapped up, look up here so I know we can continue. Because this seems like this has got some juice, that it could go for a little bit longer. A lot longer, actually. It is a juicy, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna walk around, no pressure on anybody, because I don't do that. But if you'd like to share something from your group that you heard or that you said, if you'd like to just take 30 seconds and share an observation that you had, or application, doesn't matter to me, but something that you learned from this scripture or saw in this scripture, I'm going to come walking by your group and you can raise your hand and we'll get you on mic so everybody can hear what you may have. And since I'm right here, I'll start here. Is there something you guys heard? Didn't have to say it yourself. You heard or you came up with? That was just neat and we all need to hear it.
So this week I had an encounter similar to this story. A friend of mine, whose name is Amanda, who had a Hindu background and had experienced demon possession herself, met the Lord several years ago, and she is so on fire with the Lord. Well, she called me on Tuesday, and asked me to pray, to give her counseling advice for her sister who has paranoid personality disorder. And she said, she's a hoarder, she can't leave her house, I'm going to visit her, I'm not sure if it's safe. What should I do from a counseling perspective? And so I gave her some tips. And then at the end, we said, but it could be a spiritual situation, so let's also pray for her soul, because she doesn't know the Lord and she's a Hindu. And so my friend Amanda said, I feel like the Lord's giving me this picture of a door that's latched, but Christ's hand is sticking through it. And it's His pierced hand. And it's reaching out to my sister, whose name is Susan. And so she told me about that vision, and then we prayed for her sister, and she went to visit her. And sometimes when she visits her sister, she won't let her in at all. And then occasionally she'll, like, open the door a little bit or very carefully let her in. So this time when Amanda went to visit her, she carefully let her in, and they sat and they talked, and her sister accepted Christ. And they went through the house and they prayed over the whole house. They got rid of all the Hindu symbols. And she shared that vision of Christ giving up His life for her. And she said, nobody would ever die for me. And Amanda said, no, Christ died for you. And so she feels like this might be the start of a brand new life. Like, just like this, this story. This is not just old times. This is still true for us today. We don't think about demon possession very often, but they're active, and we need to pray against them and for people to come to the Lord.
Wow. Is that not encouraging or what? Let me keep moving around. Anybody out here got something to share with us? Anybody out of the porch, folks? Okay, who are we pointing at? They're pointing at, hold on, you're going to hear it. Yes, we are.
We were talking about capitalism.
Who's talking? Are you talking? Dave talking? Dave, were you going to talk? He is now.
There are multiple things here. I mean, there's just so much stuff here. The fact that Heidi was mentioning that the demons recognized Christ from a distance. They didn't have to be up close. They saw him far away, and they realized this is the Son of God. I thought it was fascinating that they knew him, absolutely, and that they're asking him to swear to God. You know, why would the demons say swear to God? But they're saying swear to God that you're not going to torture us. Just kind of a fascinating point.
Great job, Heidi. That's a pickup from the New Testament that is unmistakable. I'm going to deal with that in a couple minutes. Anybody in this group want to share something? You can point at the person who should share it, because that's what they did in the last group. It worked out really well. You can just point at them, all right? Who are you pointing at? Okay.
An observation I had was that there were many demons, and they were very concentrated in that area.
There you go. This area was known for demons, and there were a lot of them there, and they were concentrated there. Yes, okay. This group, observation, point at somebody if you have to. I'm good with that. I'm looking around. Anybody want to? Oh, hold on, it's Philip.
We observed the fact that the demons recognized Jesus right away as soon as he stepped out of the boat. And, of course, they knew that perhaps he might be there to give them their ultimate faith, which was to send them into the lake of fire. So they asked him, are you here to torture us by doing that? So that was interesting. That just goes to show you that demons understand their ultimate end.
Very good. Thank you. I, too, take note in the Scripture whenever the people who can see the unseen world look at Jesus Christ and what they say. Jesus doesn't have to produce one bit of ID as to, hey, look, here's my driver's license. It's my Son of God driver's license. Look at it. I am qualified to be the Son of God. And here's my picture. And people check it out. It doesn't work that way. They see Jesus and immediately spout something of worship, spout something of fear. And in this case, they say, Son of the Most High God. Are you kidding me? They see this clearly. And as Phil said, they saw it from a distance and they responded to it. Wow, as this progresses, I had another observation I wanted to share with you. This is cold. I'm just going to say, this is not kind by Jesus in any way, shape, or form. This guy has been tormented by demons for who knows how long, cutting himself, breaking out of chains, doing some hideous things. Townspeople are afraid. You tell your kids, don't go out there near the tombs because there's a crazy man out there and he might kill you. Get any idea here? That's how real this is. And this guy has a dramatic confrontation with Christ. Demons, how many? We know it's not one, and we know the demons said, we are many. Some commentators take it up to thousands of demons who run off to the pigs, and that's a whole other story that's great to investigate. There's a humor side to it, and there's a stick'em side to it. Ask me privately, I'll tell you about that stuff later. But the reality is this guy, who's got to be just in a sense of worship, he's in love with Jesus. He's looking at Jesus differently than before. He knows he's different. And he's sitting listening to the Master. And he wants to go be with his Savior. And Jesus blows the bubble up that this guy had. I'm sure as he's sitting there, he's thinking, I'm going to be with Jesus. Me and him, we're just going to be together. He saved me. Look what he did for me. And when he wants to go with Jesus doesn't let him go, and hangs him out to dry. Well, that's how I would have took it, except for the fact Jesus puts something to it. He puts a commissioning to it and tells him to go. In fact, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. No, you can't come with me now. You've got a mission to do. And away he goes. You know, a lot of people don't talk about this. I bring it up every so often because I just don't understand it. But Jesus died. Jesus resurrected. And Jesus spends 40 days with the apostles and the disciples, maybe 120, 140 people. He spends with them and he talks and teaches them all that time. The resurrected Christ. My little comment to the elders a couple times has been, and nobody thought to take a pen out and write this stuff down? What did he say? But apparently we're not to know. Wouldn't you think after that 40 days, these guys and girls would be looking at Jesus and going, I just want to be with you. I don't want this to end. I'm coming with you. But no. You get to Matthew 28, and Jesus says before he leaves the earth, go and make disciples. You're not coming with me. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he gets even more explicit about the directions. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. No, you're not going with me. And I'll tell you this personally. This would have been the coolest thing. What a story I'd have for you right now if this had worked out the way I wanted it to. When I was a teenager, things were not going good in my house. In fact, we didn't have a house. I had no mother, no father, no food, not much of anything. And my wife saw into some of that life and she still stayed with me. I thought if she saw where I lived and did, she'd run, but she didn't. And she's learned, though, now. She should have. And the fact of the matter is things were really bleak for me at 14 and 15. And one night, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And here's the rest of the story. The rest of the story, when I said amen after praying that prayer, poof, he took me to be with him. Because I wanted to be with him, and I know he wanted to be with me. He didn't take me. What a bummer. Because the story the other way would be so cool. And it didn't work out. He left that stupid kid in that terrible situation. And here it is. You ready? And Jesus comes across and he says this. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I was put in a very strategic position. I didn't know it at the time. I was a kid. But I was put in a strategic position to represent Christ in a way that nobody had heard amongst the people that I was with. It would lead to me a year and a half later getting expelled from high school. A student, top of my class. That's a whole other story at another time. But the point of the matter is God knew the journey he had for me, and it was not with him yet. And I have a feeling when I get to the other side, he's going to go, you see it now? Do you get it? That's why I left you there. He has strategically placed me here. So this is what I'd like to do with you, which I think would be a great exercise. Would you bow your head with me right now? Listen very carefully. Think observantly. That's how I would put it. God has put a certain group of people around you right now that are not around me and not around others that are in this house. Think of it. Family, close and extended. Friends, close and casual. Neighbors, a house away, and then on the block and in the neighborhood. Fellow workers, even the one-off meetings with others that we come across in our society. Think of the people that God has placed you with. Now, with your head bowed and before the Holy Spirit, which of these people need the saving gospel message of Jesus Christ? Which ones do? And then I'd ask you this further. Which of these people do you have a burden for? What I mean by that word burden is, who out of that group that you just thought about do you really care for deeply that they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Who do you just really feel that down in your gut for? That's a burden. Can you think of those people right now? Can you pick out of a group, maybe pick out one, pick out two, pick out three? could you do that right now? And could you pray for them right now that God would use you in their lives to bring them to Jesus Christ? Would you do that right now? And now I'd ask you to look up at me. You should have in your mind now 1, 2, 3 people. Some of those people may actually bring you the tears that they don't know Jesus Christ. That should upset you. You should have a reaction over that, realizing what their future is. You're sitting next to some people. To the person you're sitting next to, would you just share 1 or 2 of those first names that you just prayed for? Share 1 or 2 of those first names, not the whole name, the first name that you just thought about and prayed for and that you have a burden for. Could you share those names with the person next to you? You can turn left and then turn right. Tell it to one, then tell it to another. Yeah, just first names. Do that. Okay, listen up. Most of the time in church, about this time, you've had enough of the pastor speaking. We're there. Okay. Most of the time in regular conventional church, you're about done and thinking about lunch plans. We're almost there. But the truth of the matter is they get up and do a fancy little song and you feel good about the band and you get in your car and say, boy, we had good church. But it doesn't motivate you typically to be thinking how active you need to be in someone's life to lead them to Jesus Christ. And the fact that the burden for doing so falls on me to do that. It does. And you say, no, it's my elders. It's Jim and it's Jerry and it's Glenn and it's Steve. And the deacons, then it's Phil and it's Bob. It's those guys that have to do that stuff. Yeah, it does. And it filters down to every single person in this room who knows Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what age or experience, the same commission is put on you to represent Jesus Christ where He's put you. Listen, with real names of real people, with real faces that you can think about now. So you know me, a lot of you know I have this incredible need to have fun and laugh. Have you picked that up yet? No, huh? All right. I'm just going to walk by and I'm going to have you share a first name that you shared or heard. Okay, just a first name.
Adriana.
Hey, Paul. Ksenia.
Okay, what was that? Okay, good. That was my hearing. I'm getting old and things like that happen. Okay, here we go. I'm not done. Listen up.
Amelia.
James.
Laura.
Greg.
Yariana.
Good job there. You catching this? I just want you to hear a couple names. Don't share.
Reva.
Okay.
Brad.
Patrick.
Tarek.
Maddie.
Tarek. Ava.
You picking this up? You picking this up? Different names, different people, burdens that were given to us from the Lord. Here we go.
Jerry.
John. Dayla.
Get any idea? Anybody else want to share?
Jana.
The Walker family.
John.
Michael.
Okay, you get any idea? And there's more after that. If we were in the right setting, I'd put this all on a wall so that you could see these names because it's that graphic. Now, with that said, let me pray for you. Because you're commissioned to do what? You're commissioned to go and bring the message of Jesus Christ, of who He is and what He's done for you to these people. Let me pray for you and commission you accordingly. Our Father, you heard these names. You know our hearts. There's more names after that. We just have the burden, the intense desire to see these people come to Jesus Christ. And Father, right now, we ask you to spend our lives to do exactly that. Spend our lives as you see fit to bring them into the knowledge of you and your kingdom. Father, I commit the people of Candlewood to that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Okay, do not move out of your group. Rose, come on. There she is. Okay, Rose, come lead us. Thank you.
You stood before creation.
One last bit of business as a church body, and you're all going to have to stand for this in just a minute. Listen carefully. I'm going to ask Jerry Peterson to come to the middle of the room. This is Jerry Peterson's, listen carefully, this is going to go out the wrong way. This is the last Sunday he's with us before he takes off to go to Togo in Africa. Not his last Sunday ever with us. His last Sunday before he leaves to go to Togo in Africa. Has everybody got that? This is the last chance we get together to send him out the proper way. We would say this is commissioning. We're acknowledging that he's going out from among us to serve for a month and a day. Okay, I got it about right. And you leave on what date?
Friday, the 11th of June.
Okay, so that's Friday in a week from this Friday. And you return?
July 12th.
Okay. July 12th, okay. So he's gone from the 11th to the 12th, June to July. You got that? So we're praying for him as he goes. Can you encapsulate exactly what you're going to do?
I'm going to help cover for their station engineer. So there will be a lot of technical types of things, electrical work as well, trying to do some surveys of the electrical system and check things out and check on their practices and install some things and fix some things. Yeah.
So he's going to be a geek missionary for 1 month on short-term assignment. You got to read through what people say, all right? He didn't explain what he said he was going to do because we wouldn't get it. But the geek missionary is going over. Okay. He's putting in a new inverter, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! All right. So I'm going to ask you, they're having fun with this, but Jerry goes under the commission of Jesus Christ sent out from Candlewood Church. If you're not aware of it, Jerry is one of our missionaries, Jerry Mildred. And we honor what he does and this trip for him to volunteer and go do this. They just have a big need and away he goes. So that's impressive stuff. So I'm going to ask you to do is, Jerry, if you would come stand here. I'm going to ask you to come up, and this is our end of, we're done with this, we're done, okay? I'm going to ask you to come up and get around Jerry and put hands on him, which means that's impossible, but if you're behind a person who's got a hand on, put a hand on the person behind him. If you could do that right now, that would be great. Okay, come on up and put a hand and circle around Jerry so that we can pray. This is what we do here. Ready? Come on in close. Give Jerry a touch. Okay. Jerry is touched. Okay. Okay. Listen, let me ask you folks something. Everybody who's standing here, will you make it a point over the next month and a week or so? Would you make it a point to pray for him? Say yes, you would do that. Yes? Okay. That's what matters, that kind of stuff. Now let's pray together. Our Father God, we do thank you for Jerry and Mildred and their hearts to serve you. And Father, we just thank you that we get to send him out from here to go to Togo to help with the issues he thinks he's got to help with and the ones he doesn't even know yet that are coming. Father, how we ask for his wisdom, safe travel. Father, use him in a mighty way there to further your kingdom with this radio station. Father, I pray that you'd spend him effectively with the message of Jesus Christ. And most of all, Father, grow him during this time. Stretch him during this time to be more like your son in every encounter that he has. Father, we, your church, Candlewood Church, send him out from among us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we are dismissed.